This sermon was delivered at Grand Avenue Baptist Church, a gospel-centered church in Ames, Iowa. Hear more sermons and learn more about Grand Avenue at gabcames.org.
Golly, that was kind of nice. Thank you. Yeah, for those who know me, it's okay to laugh. Noted. All right, make sure it's funny. Hey, yes, today is going to be an intro per me on apologetics. But if you were in the worship service today, you saw it. Did you notice that? No. Who besides me noticed the apologetic that just flowed off of the mouths of the people up here today? Raise them higher so I can see them. Really? This one's going to be fun. Now, the response that I would get from my laboratory team at the diagnostic laboratory when we had our morning meeting at 8:45, and I brought my crib sheet in to make announcements, I would announce on some occasions, "Looky, hear what I found for you to do." And there would be a 13 voice, oh. Air would just run right out of everybody in there. So, I love apologetics simply because, brothers and sisters, it's our life. And the only thing that we really have to do is to obey our Lord. How hard can that be after this morning's sermon, right? And the command is to go into all nations, teach and make disciples. That's it. In the course of today, I hopefully will be teaching you some things and learning some things myself. It's quite common for me to go off script. Bear with me. And to get things started correctly off script, I have to thank Pastor Van Avery for reminding me during his sermon and his presentation of thoughts that hadn't occurred to me before this morning. Well, at least not recently. It's akin to the old days, the golden days of radio, when professors at Iowa State would give slide presentations with either an 80-slide or a 120-slide carousel. And the secret to those dudes were that you would arrange your slides in chronological order, presentation order, and then you would put a screw cap lid on top of the carousel. One day during histology class at Vet Med, histology is the microscopic anatomy of tissues and cells, wonderful instructor was in a hurry and stumbled into the lecture hall with his slide deck that did not have the top screwed on. 120 slides went scattering across the floor. His response was, "Class dismissed." We all did that, but you know what that meant? We had to go through those slides and the next set on the following lecture. So, I had that similar impact this morning with me, Dean, while I listened to your sermon, because there's a boatload of stuff that Dean presented this morning that could get easily shoehorned in what I'm going to try to do for you this morning. And then, in the midst of that thought, it dawned on me that this is the 53rd anniversary this week of my having been visited by students from Faith Baptist Bible College while I was in Friley Hall, Bennett House, 5571. Nobody knows what that is. The interesting thing was that these two guys from Faith Baptist Bible College asked me if I was a believer. I said, no. Christians have two brains. One of the brains is lost, and the other one is out looking for the lost one. I grew up in the college of John Lennon and Joe Namath, Johnny Carson, George Carlin. And so they said, well, if you were to die today, what would happen? I don't know. And then quoting Rhett Butler, and frankly, my dear. So they said, well, do you care if we give you a quiz? And I said, oh, yeah, I'm ready for quizzes. This is dead week. We got finals coming up. So that was back in the decade century when the academic year was split into three quarters. Actually, it was in four quarters because the fourth one was in the summer. So we'd be coming up to a dead week and projects due week. And they said, well, you got time for one more quiz, don't you? Sure, bring it on. Bring that papa. And so they flipped to Exodus 20 and said, we're going to give you a quiz here to see how you're doing against the standard to which you will be measured. Ooh, I was 0-for. I chucked the first four out readily, and if not having actually committed any of the remaining sins, I sure thought a lot about them. So that all happened 53 years ago, and I am now off script about 20 miles. And something happened to me during their presentation of my guilty verdict. I'm in deep kimchi. I had been to Baptist services before, and I knew about the call, and I always thought Baptists had these secret weapon Bibles that they just seemed to know what to look up to poke my eyes in the Three Stooges fashion that I was thinking wrong. Now, this time, the double eye punch landed. And it's really critical also to be thinking, because they asked me if I cared to give my life to Christ right now. Well, no. You just club me upside of the head, and I got to get my marbles back into to their slots. I got to get them back. That never works. But in the course of the next couple of weeks, another God thing happened for me. It was the announcement of Roe v. Wade. And you might ask, well, you knucklehead, why was that such a deal? Well, this knucklehead wrote his senior paper in 1971 on the probability that abortions will be and should be made available to women in the United States. I had three references among all of the textbooks, but one of the references was my family physician. He gave a well-written explanation for what the procedure is. Another one was from the pastor of the church that my parents went to and the one in which I was confirmed. And I don't remember there being anything mentioned about Jesus. And of course, I wasn't looking for him either. But the third one was one that I really wish I had kept. It was from the minister of that Baptist church that kept finding all those secret verses and who laid out the reasons that abortion is murder. Now, that had never occurred to me, but it was part of my senior paper. For me, the crux of my thesis was that as long as what is in the oviducts is not a human, open season. All right, period. Actually, I did very well on finals that year, too. Somebody was working on my memory, and it wasn't me. first class of the next semester in the spring was entitled Embryology. Anybody know what embryology is? Sir?
Study of embryo.
Right? That is the precise definition. What must that involve, students? It doesn't involve just looking at them and say, that's an embryo. This class was the first molecular biology class that I had ever sat in. And in the first day, the process of fertilization was described to me, to the class. There is no way in creation that that process evolved. After deposition of the sperm cells into the vagina, it is a few minutes before the gametes are presented to the ovum. And there is only one male gamete that is allowed entrance into the ovum. I mean, there are tens of thousands of them attached to the what's called the zona pellucida around the egg, but only one gets in. And within another few hours after that, the DNA from the gamete and the DNA from the ovum are put together. Now, if you have 23 pairs of chromosomes in a cell, what is it? Human. Game over. Yeah. And not only that, the processes whereby a baby is made cannot be explained by anything other than the Lord God Almighty. All right, so that was the biology part of this. Dave Hubler, I think we need to order pizzas because I envision a 3 o'clock ending with the way this is going, sort of. So the other part of that 53 years ago shtick was that my girlfriend, the summer before, and I had split. I had say la vie, sayonara, adios, I'm done, because I wanted to propose to her. And I at least had the smarts to ask her dad what he thought. And being a Christian, he said, nope, can't do it. Unless and until you bow your head before Jesus Christ and call him Lord, she is off limits to you. So I walked away from that conversation thinking, oh, okay, that's an answer, right? That answer came back to me a couple weeks after the Faith Baptist Bible College students visited me. I was not so kind to that young lady, that Christian lady, during this breakup. I was evil. And evil doesn't have to last very long to be evil. It's as fast as a slingshot rock hitting you in the head. But it wasn't long after my visit by the brothers from Faith Baptist Bible College, and I want to find those guys one day and just thank them. That stirring of conviction by the law, do you remember that from this morning? Please say yes or you'll make Dean sad. Very good class, yeah. Anybody? Now, don't be chicken. How many of you have known that in your life? The conviction under the law. So this is what I sensed. It was as though there was a tourniquet put on my chest, just pressing into me of my sinfulness. So what's a guy to do but go to that Baptist church that seemed to have the secret Bibles that had all of the answers? First thing I decided to do was certainly to apologize to Sandy. She wasn't just going to let me come back to her hometown, I had to go through the gauntlet of her mom and dad. And they were very firm in their love of Sandy and the love, their love for Jesus. And without question, there would be no more visits by me to their daughter. That wasn't the impetus, but that was the conviction of where I had been and still was. But I did find her phone number. And I called her, and boy, golly, she gave the same story that her mom and dad did. So they're singing from the same hymn book. And without any prompting of my own, I just flat out said, "Sandy, I'm sorry. Is there any way that I could see you?" Click. I think she fell on the floor, unconscious, et cetera, and all that. I'm pretty sure that, because I knew her roommate also, it dropped to her like a ton of bricks. But you know what? That tourniquet on my heart was released right away. God opened the door for me to be able to first visit her parents. They asked me if I had received Christ, and I said, "Not yet, but I'm thinking about it." That doesn't count for anything, does it? In the next couple of days, I did confess Christ in the solitary existence in my dorm room. Called Sandy back, and I told her that I did, and she said, "Well, she will talk to her parents to see if we could meet." We did. I bent my knee, confessed Jesus as Lord. And a year later, we were married. But boy, howdy, the sermon and the service that you heard this morning is an apologetic. So an apologetic is a reason for the hope that lies within you. It's a reason that you give when someone asks you, "Why are you Christian?" One. Number two, what are the reasons you are Christian? Now, sitting with a Christian-friendly crowd like this, you probably could stand 4 hours of listening to each other's testimony and the ministry of Jesus Christ in our lives. But we need to get back to the subject du jour, which is the apologetic, and why the service on Sundays is that. So let me ask you this question. Who in their right mind, worldly definition, would bother to come out on a exceedingly frigid morning and sit with a bunch of other people with the same ilk simply to sing the praises of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to pray corporately to God through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be ministered to by the Word of God through the sermons? You're looking at us. This is a pretty good bunch to be in. Now, the Baptists always say, "Amen." Good night. I even put my hearing aids in, kids. So if you have questions, there's a warning. You got to shout, and then shout louder. And if I still don't respond, pick up a book or something and throw at me. I usually recognize big things that hit the side of me. So, victory in Christ. Another old person laughing back there. At. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Father, thank you so much for this privilege of speaking to my brothers and sisters. More importantly, would you be the one who speaks to them to grow them in your love, grace, and mercy. And we will give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you got your outline queued up on your device. I have lots of books in my library that are apologetic, and to try to find one outline would have taken a whole week just to find the outline. So I took the lazy man's route, and I asked AI, give me an outline for an apologetics presentation. And so it did. AI called this foundations and methodologies as a beginning. And then that has to include the concept of truth. And then there are methodological approaches to this. Yeah, I'll go ahead and do that. And after a few bullet points, I said to myself, self, this just by itself is not going to do it. So I added several helps to AI's outline. And I'll walk you through these. And what I'm wanting to do today is introduce you to the activity and the thought that goes into apologetics. Next week, I want you to work through selected verses of Genesis plus selected verses of the Gospel of John to show me the logic and the reason for Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. That'll be your quiz for next week. And God willing, and the creek don't rise, I'll have those posted on the website hopefully by Tuesday. That all depends on whether Dean and I can get all of our wires straight with each other. You'll see them. So, definition of apologetics is the introduction and the threefold aim. Who decided that? Answering critics, dismantling cultural idols, and building up believers. Well, yeah. Any one of us could have written that, right? So here's my first help when you're thinking about explaining and defending your faith. Number one, it's always best to understand verses of the scriptures in their context. Right? Rather than read only 1 Peter 3:15 as recommended by AI, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and read the verses around it. So 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts honor Christ, the Lord is holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." Yeah, and let's go up to verse 8 then. "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, and a tender heart and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit." Did you hear Dean do that for us this morning?
Yeah, but that's a victimless crime.
No. "Let him turn away from evil and do good." None of this victimless crime malarkey. That's not in there. "Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than doing evil." Help number two, we have one aim: to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. It doesn't matter what the other party's, and party is small p, party's response may be. We are to be obedient. And this leads us to the third help. We glorify God when we obey our Lord's commands to us. Look at Matthew 22, 36 through 37. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. Then in John 13, 31 through 35, and we'll draw this to a close soon. When he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Then Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So we'll stop with help number four, and this is your homework. Why are these verses listed in their chronological order relative to the life of Christ? How do you go about answering that question? So as you're pondering that and looking for an exit, let's close in prayer.